Your smart TV is taking constant snapshots of everything you watch.
Wait, what? Isn't watching TV meant to be a private activity from the comfort of your own home?
Not anymore.
Do you think that the things that we're watching on our smart TVs are private, just between us and our television?
Definitely not.
In this video, we're going to take a look at what smart TVs are actually doing behind the glass. We'll break down how they collect your most sensitive data. We'll explore how that data is used to profile and manipulate you. And finally, we'll go over some ways to protect yourself.
Basically, in internet age, smart TV watches you.
Let's get started by understanding what smart TVs are and how they operate. They're basically just modern TVs. It's almost impossible to get a non-smart TV these days.
Most new TVs connect to the internet to stream shows and movies on demand.
They come preloaded with apps for watching content, things like Amazon Prime Video, YouTube, Hulu, cable provider apps, and fast channels.
They're also quietly sending out reports about everything you watch.
Quietly being the key word.
If you ask a random user, do you know that smart TV is doing this? They will likely not know about it.
Yash Vakharia is a researcher who worked on a paper about how bad smart TVs really are for privacy.
Our study focuses on two major players in the market, one being LG and one being Samsung. While we were investigating this, we stuck upon something which is known as ACR, which stands for Automatic Content Recognition.
It's a technology built deeply into the OS of modern TVs. How it works is basically
the smart TV is continuously capturing snapshots of whatever the user is streaming. Now, these snapshots could be audio snapshots or video snapshots, or it could be both.
And by doing this, the TV manufacturer is able to recognize whatever is playing.
ACR data allows them to know which household is watching a particular program so that they can target ads to impressionable audiences.
You will be astonished by the number of snapshots they collect every second.
How many snapshots are they collecting?
LG openly mentions that this frequency is 10 milliseconds for them.
Every 10 milliseconds a snapshot's being taken.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
That's 100 snapshots every second.
And for Samsung, it is 500 milliseconds.
These snapshots are batched together to form something called a content fingerprint, which is sent to the TV manufacturer's servers.
The smart TV manufacturers maintain their own database of these kind of content fingerprints. The server can identify what show is exactly being watched by the user based on the match. So if the content fingerprint of an NFL show matches, then the server can infer that the user is watching NFL at this moment. What if you're watching something you don't want others to know about? It is a big privacy concern for the users.
But it gets worse. It's not just shows that the TV is taking snapshots of.
Even when you're using smart TV as just a dumb screen by connecting your laptop using an HDMI cable, they're still performing ACR.
In other words, when you connect your computer to your TV, the TV is taking snapshots of what's on your computer. The implications of that are pretty wild.
Let's suppose you're browsing through an email on your laptop and just projecting it on a bigger screen just to view it in a better manner. That information is still being captured and sent to the ACR servers.
So let's say you and I are having a Zoom meeting for our corporation and we're thinking, well, there are 20 people on this call. Let's put it on a big monitor. There are audio samples being collected from that meeting by these smart TVs.
Yep, exactly.
These are private activities that aren't meant to be shared. Same with doing your banking, logging into accounts, or simply browsing through personal photos on a larger screen. Why are our televisions taking snapshots? Now, currently, the way ACR works is the recordings themselves aren't necessarily sent to the TV manufacturer, just the content fingerprint. But your TV itself is still collecting these snapshots. And as we know, modern AI can instantly identify what's in any photo, right down to the most subtle details. This technology just keeps getting better too.
It's going to get easier and easier to recognize everything.
According to Toby Lewis, global head of threat analysis at Darktrace, ACR could be used in conjunction with data from facial recognition built into the TV's cameras, sentiment analysis, speech to text, and content analysis, all put together to build an in-depth picture of an individual user. We should presume that that's the direction we're headed in, moving away from fingerprint-powered ACR and into an era of instant AI-powered content recognition, where every subtle detail of what's on your screen will be tagged and analyzed. And ACR radar is just one tool currently used to spy on us. There are all kinds of other ways that these companies collect our data, like collecting IP addresses or through data sharing agreements. A 2019 study by researchers at Northeastern University and Imperial College London found that almost all TVs they tested sent data to Google and Netflix, even though they never connected any Netflix accounts. A 2017 lawsuit against Vizio revealed that the company was sharing the detailed viewing histories of 11 million users with data brokers. Unfortunately, there are countless ways that all this data can be weaponized. Let's start with simple viewing habits.
For example, you're interested in sports. Mostly you watch sports shows from 9 to 12, but in the afternoon you watch something else. Let's say you watch fashion shows.
These habits are tracked and analyzed by TV manufacturers, and over a period of time,
they can develop a holistic profile of the user to understand what are their viewing patterns, what are their behavioral traits, what are they interested in, what are they not interested in.
The most obvious use is to sell this data to streaming platforms, stores, or companies who can sell you things.
This is just one dimension of the data, like what is your viewing habits. But when other data brokers, based on your same identifiers, let's suppose your name and email address or IP address, have other information about you, let's say, what did you buy? Which all hotels did you book? Where all did you travel to? When they collect all this information, it becomes a complete profile about you, wherein they know more better than you. Like, what decision would you make at this point?
A known goal of this industry is cross-device tracking. The real data gold is when they link your smart TV usage with your phone, laptop, home automation or IoT devices, browsing habits, social media activity, car, wearables, transaction history, the list goes on. The Vizio lawsuit revealed that the company worked with other companies to combine data sets so that viewing habits could be paired with information like a viewer's sex, age, income, marital status, and more.
Using ACR and voter databases, campaigns can know which shows persuadable voters watch most, even when the programs have nothing to do with politics.
Aggregating these databases to build incredibly detailed psychological profiles about us is a trillion-dollar industry, because the more someone knows about us, the easier it is to manipulate what we think, how we vote, even whom we trust. There is a tremendous amount of value in being able to influence someone's worldview or choices.
It'll be able to be super creepy and super personalized in terms of the experience that they'll be targeting at you.
Targeted messages, videos, or content can radically shift opinions, sow division, or incite unrest. Entire government departments all over the world already specialize in this. Unfortunately, once our data is sold onward, it's out of the manufacturer's control, so there's no way for us to know who has access to it. As David Schofness, an associate professor in the Cowrie College of Computer Sciences, said, We're increasingly letting these devices in our homes, and we have almost no insight into the data they're collecting, who they're sharing that data with, and what the privacy implications are. So the ways this data could be weaponized are limitless. And indeed, the concept of consent becomes murky when one agreement with a TV maker cascades into countless third parties you've never heard of getting your information. The whole system is murky and opaque by design, and most people have no idea what's going on. We already mentioned that Vizio was sued for collecting and sharing personal data, but the important part of this case was that they were doing it without ever telling the user or getting their consent. By the time anyone looked into what was going on, Vizio had already made unknown amounts of money from that data, and the penalty was little more than a slap on the wrist and a mandate to tell users going forward. By then, the damage was done. This kind of surveillance had already been normalized, and companies were deep into our living rooms and bedrooms. After the lawsuit, Vizio and other smart TV manufacturers kept doing the same thing. The only real change was the addition of vague, buried disclosures hidden in their terms of service.
When you set up a TV, you have to agree to hundreds of different things, and no one really reads these privacy policies or terms of services.
They're meant to inform users, but are written more as liability insurance and leave users in the dark about what's actually going on.
If they were to explain it to the users in simple terms and say, hey, you are agreeing to share that information with countless third parties who will profile you on it. I think that most people would say, wait, no, I don't want all my personal viewing habits to be monitored and tracked.
But instead, smart TV privacy settings are often hard to find, and the terminology is unclear. If you dive into countless submenus, you'll find terms like Live Plus and Viewing Information Services. These terms both refer to ACR, actually. Not that anyone would know. If we're not being told what's actually going on inside the tech that we use, how are we meant to make better choices? Well, researchers, like those that we spoke to, try to break into this tech themselves to see if they can understand it all. But there are two huge obstacles to this. The first is technical.
There was no public repository for jailbreaking into Samsung, which just tells me that their safeguards have become more stronger to prevent this kind of thing from happening.
Companies use a lot of proprietary algorithms and technical barriers that make it near impossible for people to actually reverse engineer their systems. As a result,
we could not look at the raw data.
So Yash and his team had to take a lot of guesses about how the surveillance in these smart TVs worked.
If they had ACR in the domain name, we identified them to be servers related to ACR technology. However, this is just a lower bound because we don't know if they're using some other domains for the same purposes. Let's say SamsungAds.com.
It really is a testament to how opaque these systems are. The fact that you have to infer so much.
The second obstacle that researchers face when trying to investigate surveillance, and it's a huge one, is legal. Companies weaponize legislation like the CFAA to silence research. The CFAA stands for the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Its intention is to try to protect companies and government entities from bad people breaking in and exploiting vulnerabilities. But the thing is, the CFAA doesn't actually have intent written into the law. So it doesn't tell the difference between someone who scrutinizes code in order to do harm to a business and someone who researches code in order to inform users about how the tech works and whether or not it's spying on them. Companies use the CFAA to silence researchers who expose shady practices and to deter others from doing similar investigations. As a result, researchers are often too scared to publish their findings, not because they've done anything wrong, but because they fear being sued by powerful companies under vague and outdated laws.
They're arbitrarily going after security engineers who are trying to reverse engineer this kind of code. But really, it's by analyzing this code that we understand what these companies are actually doing. It's not fair that they're creating this safe moat around themselves and putting up all these barriers so that consumers never really understand what's going on.
So they are kind of protecting themselves, but it is really hurting privacy research that goes into figuring out these things and what exactly these companies are doing and how are they tracking the users.
We need more researchers looking into this stuff, and we as consumers need to be allowed to educate ourselves about what's actually going on. The CFAA really needs to change. So, what can we actually do to better protect our privacy if we want to watch TV? First, don't connect your smart TV to the internet. Keep the Wi-Fi on the TV off and instead watch TV by connecting a laptop or some other device that you trust more.
If you disconnect the smart TV from internet, there will be no ACR traffic, so they will not be able to send any of this information to their servers. But still, this is an OS integrated mechanism. So they will still be collecting that information.
And it's possible that if you ever connect to the internet in the future, that data might all be sent out in bulk. But presuming that you never connect to the internet again and only use your TV as a dumb monitor through your laptop,
even if they are collecting the information, that never leaves your device.
Next, you can comb through your settings to find all the different toggles on your device that need to be switched off in order to opt out. Good luck!
By opt out, I mean opt out of everything related to advertising and tracking, or anything related to AI.
This can be a difficult task and likely requires you going to many hidden submenus to find all the settings.
Opting out of all of those things will block all the traffic going to the ACR servers.
The TV may still collect this data, but it won't be sent off if you trust that the TV is doing what it says it's doing, and if you can be sure that you didn't miss any settings. Another solution is you can try to find a device that isn't smart. This is not easy. It's almost impossible to buy a non-smart TV these days. I recently scoured the internet
finally found one and ordered it, and when it arrived, it was a smart TV. And I wrote to complain that none of this connectivity was in the specs, and the seller told me that, oh, well, they didn't have my model in stock, so they upgraded me. I didn't consider adding spyware to my TV, an upgrade. You might also consider buying a projector instead of a TV. There are still a few dumb projectors in existence, but even they're getting rare. Or you can look for a dumb monitor, but they only go up to a certain size, and it's nowhere near the average consumer television size these days.
We hope dumb TVs are brought back to the market instead of smart TVs.
Next, we can be vocal that we value privacy and ask hard questions when we buy electronics.
When you go and buy some device in the market, privacy is not really a factor that people consider. And that's, I think, partly because of lack of awareness.
So we need to spread the word about what's going on and push companies to make better devices, hold them to higher standards, and tell them that privacy is important to us.
Even just getting this conversation started really goes a long way to moving the needle.
Finally, we can fight back against the CFAA and make sure that researchers are protected.
It's just so important that people with the technical skills are using their talents to really dive into this stuff. I think it helps empower everyone.
One thing that we're doing at the Ludlow Institute is trying to support more researchers with these kinds of investigations. If you are a privacy researcher who likes to reverse engineer things and you're interested in uncovering hidden surveillance in everyday tech, please reach out and apply for a grant or let us amplify your work. We want to help educate as many people as possible about what's going on. In summary, smart TVs are a privacy nightmare. As soon as you switch them on, they're gathering and sharing data about what you're doing, including taking continuous snapshots of everything you watch. Out of all the IoT devices, smart TVs are the chattiest, contacting not only the TV maker servers, but also all kinds of advertisers, analytics companies, and cloud service providers. And this data can end up in anyone's hands, including government records. We shouldn't have let faceless companies and governments into our living rooms and bedrooms. And we have a long way to go with improving the situation. But it starts with awareness. It's time to blow the lid off the pervasive surveillance in our lives. We may have gotten to a bad place, but let's make better choices going forward and start spreading the word. NBTV is a project of the Ludlow Institute, a non-profit research and media institute. If you'd like to join the cause and support our grants program where we fund privacy researchers doing important work, visit ludlowinstitute.org/donate. You can also support us by visiting our shop. Here is the latest design to drop. 10 points if you can tell me in the comments which famous statue this is based on. And I'll feature your comment in the next video. Priv Ack. Are you a privacy accelerationist?